And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome in to RBLR Bucked, your frontline defense against weak takes, lazy narratives, and uninspired football talk. I'm your co-host, Moose Saab, and just like Tampa in July, we're bracing for impact because this Buck season is already stirring, the storm in the Gulf. Forget the sunshine and good vibes. We're talking gale force debates, pressure fronts on both sides of the line, and the eye of the storm focus on our beloved Bucks, but also around the NFL. Big love to the rest of the RBLR fam, you know, holding it down across the Bay, whether it's the Rays grinding through the season, the Rowdies staying scrappy, and the Bolts reloading for another run. Y'all already know we rep Tampa tough. Every squad deserves your love, so tap in those shows too. But hey, share your takes with us tonight. Seriously, drop your hottest opinions, your wildest trade dreams, your boldest Bucks predictions. It don't matter. We read every single one of them, and we want to hear what's swirling in your football forecast. All right, folks, buckle up. For today's main event, we are diving deep into the trenches of the NFL, shining a spotlight on the absolute D-line dogs who dominate the defensive side of the ball. And, of course, you know this is never, ever a one-man show. No. I have the pleasure of introducing my awesome co-host tonight. You know, I'll tell you this. Podcasting with this guy feels like lining up next to Booger McFarlane in his prime. Disruptive, intelligent, and ready to blow up any bad take that dares step into the backfield. He's not just talking ball. He's playing it like an elite interior lineman. Collapsing lazy analysis with power and precision. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Carter Brantley, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing all right, Musab. How are you?
So far, so good. Another week closer to the NFL season. I feel like, indeed. You know, I'll tell you this, Carter. This last week, I've actually seen a little bit more, X amount of days till college football or X amount of days till NFL kickoff.
And, yeah. I think there's NFL games this month, or there's a NFL game this month.
I know there's
month.
So
right.
I think it's less than 10 Sundays. I think I saw that last week or something, maybe 9 Sundays, something like that. So hey, we're getting closer to it. I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, every day we're closer to football, you know. I mean, not a whole lot of news. Like you said, the Bucks news especially has been kind of slow, but that's all right. That, you know, sometimes no news is good news, especially this time of year. So, you know, not really going to talk too much about, you know, Bucks super focused stuff. But like Musab said, we're taking a look at the trenches. We're taking a look at interior defensive linemen. We're giving our top tens because it's just the season of the interns, and this is our version of that, you know. So that's where we're headed. That's where we're going for this episode. But if you're a first time listener, definitely sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. We'll be talking some good football. But if you're returning and you haven't already done so, hit that like and subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. Let's us know if you dig what we're saying. And like Musab said, man, drop some comments. If you disagree with our interior defensive line takes, please let us know. I love hearing different people's takes on this stuff because there's really no right or wrong answer. I mean, maybe there's some wrong answers, but, you know, not as many as you think. But we'll get right into it. I'll kick things off. We're going to do the similar. If you're a returner, then you know that we do the first five in the first half of the episode and then the second five, just so that not one of us is hogging too much of the mic, you know, got to spread the love. So I'm going to start with who I think we're in agreement on number one. He's a pretty consensus guy, similar to sort of with Myles Garrett last week with edge rushers. Chris Jones, Kansas City. He's where that defense starts. He's where that defense ends. He's the reason that defense is so successful, or at least probably the biggest reason. Just by far the best pass rusher at the position. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like the gap between him and the next guy in terms of this is pretty wide. 88 total pressures, just really, really outstanding stuff. Not as great against the run, but, you know, the fact that he's just that much better than everyone else as a pass rusher from that position, which is incredibly uncommon. It's still number one, Chris Jones. That's pretty easily the top spot. Number two, I have Dexter Lawrence from the Giants. He is much more well-balanced. He's really, really good in pass rush, seventh in pass rush grade. He's just so good that teams have to run away from him. You know, like when you're scheming for the Giants, you know, hey, let's run away from Dexter Lawrence because he's just going to eat up blockers. He's going to get in the backfield and cause some havoc. Number three, I have a bit of an older gentleman, but definitely older than these first two guys, but still just probably the most consistent guy on this list. Cam Hayward out of Pittsburgh. As much as TJ Watt gets a lot of attention, deservedly so, Cam Hayward, in my mind, might be the defining player of this era of Pittsburgh Steeler football. He's been absolutely a monster in that interior, tied for first in stops, which, if you're unfamiliar, it's tackles that can constitute a failure for the offense. He's also tied for fifth in quarterback pressures. I'm pretty sure he's the only interior defensive lineman that ranks in the top five in both of those stats. He's just been so steady his whole career. Very good Hall of Fame case. I think, you know, it's hard to judge that position sometimes with Hall of Fame because the stats aren't necessarily as clean cut as, you know, passing yards, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, etc. But I think Cam Hayward probably has the best case of any active interior defensive lineman for the Hall of Fame. Number four, I got Jalen Carter, third in total pressures, not graded out super well, but you just heard analysts and you heard opposing offenses talk about having to double him. And he basically made Milton Williams a very rich man. Like, Milton Williams got a big contract because he was lining up next to Jalen Carter and just eating while Jalen Carter was taking on double teams. And yet Jalen Carter was still getting after the quarterback. He's, as much as he's got some off the field stuff from Georgia, like he's got some weird stuff. That's why he fell so much in the draft. He is one of the most dominant pass rushers in the NFL from that position, other than maybe Chris Jones. And fifth, I have Zach Allen out of Denver. He's been outstanding. He was so, so good this past year. Third in stops, but he was the spark of this excellent Broncos offense, or excuse me, defense. And he's just going to only be better next year because the Broncos got better defensively. They took a strength and just continue to add on. So I'm a big fan of Zach Allen. I think he's incredibly underrated. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Who you got for your first five? Any disagreements, agreements? What you got for us?
Yes, sir. Now I feel like we have, the similar top five. Sure. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, going over it real quick. I mean, yeah, Chris Jones, just absolute beast. I mean, he's a game changer. And I mean, the fact that he has led the pressures, not just this past season, but for the past two seasons, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's talk about just absolute, you know, consistency, but also just staying dominant. And then, yeah, I'm going to go Dexter Lawrence at number two. Just an absolute dominant nose tackle. Wins the gaps, just an absolute stud. I mean, as you said it yourself, you know, really high PFF grade, almost at 90 now. So, and then, yeah, I got to give respect to, you know, a veteran like Cam Hayward up there, just because of, you know, he's 35 years old, but he's still, you know, wreaking havoc. He is probably your, you know, quintessential, you know, I guess, example of, you know, just a, you know, consistent, reliable, trustworthy interior defensive lineman. Next up, I want to go, yeah, Jalen Carter, young dog. I mean, starting from his rookie year, you know, he showed his potential. And yeah, I mean, as you said it as well, you know, getting Milton Williams paid, I mean, he is, again, not, you know, a lot of the times you don't really think much about these guys until, you know, they actually make some real hard hitting play or some game changing sure. play on like a third down or something. Otherwise, you know, you forget about them because, you know, they're not always those flashy guys. But
for sure.
Yeah, I'm putting Jalen Carter at number four. And then number five, I'm actually going to go Quinnen Williams from the Jets.
Ooh, I like
just,
it.
Yeah, balanced disruptor, threat both in the run and pass situation. He is, you know, he's up there with pressures as well. So, yeah, I mean, it gets a little bit, you know, with all these rankings, you know, you can kind of get a little bit more, I guess, unique with these later rankings.
Sure.
But I mean, yeah, I gotta say, you know, my top three, I feel like, or you know, our top three are, in my mind, they're pretty solidified.
Yeah, I think one through three is pretty hard to argue. I know we agree on the fourth spot too, but if you would, you know, went a different direction, I would have been totally cool. Like, I really like Jalen Carter the player, but at the same time, like, there are a lot of other really great defensive linemen. So yeah, I'm definitely with you. I think one through three was really, really solidified because, yeah, those guys are just, they're in a class of their own. You know, I think we talk about it in tiers with a lot of these positions, and that one through three spot is really that A tier or S tier, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely the sort of that top tier. And then after that, it gets a little bit more nebulous. You know, you can kind of go either way. You mentioned Quinnen Williams. That's a great shout out. I have him a good bit lower, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I was really impressed by Quinnen Williams at first. You know, when he first entered the NFL, he just had a bit of a down year. So I'll talk about him a little bit later, but I'm glad you got him in your top five, because at his peak, he definitely can be a top five interior defensive lineman. I genuinely think that he can make his way back up there for me at least. But Zach Allen was the guy that I included at number five, just because he has had such a productive year last year. And it felt like, you know, I would be listening. There's a good, really great football podcast by Sumer Sports, Stats and Schemes, and they're constantly talking about Zach Allen when it comes to Denver. Obviously, Patrick Surtain, rightfully so, gets all the headlines because he's one of the best cornerbacks, if not the best in the NFL. But Zach Allen was just a really, really underrated free agent acquisition that they brought in. I believe he was a free agent acquisition. But, he was brought in, and he's just been dominant, really, out of the get-go. So I've been really impressed by him, for sure. But let's go with our 6 through 10 as well. We'll get into the second half of our list right away. Mr. Tariq, I'll let you kick us off since I started this 1 through 5. Who do you have finishing out your list?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I actually have at number 6. I actually have Zach Allen.
There you go.
You say there he is. Just because, I mean, he deserves a shout out. I mean, it was, you know, it's, I mean, you can go 5, 6 with him and Quinnen Williams, but the highest pass rush snap total among all interior defensive linemen. He racked up 8.5 sacks, just absolute beast out there. And that's why he's my number 6. Number 7, I'm going Derrick Brown from the Panthers. Ooh, I like this just because run defense, he's an absolute dog. Mm-hmm. He had 53 defensive stops. His run stop win rate was very, it's up there. I mean, I think if not at the top among interior defenders. So, he's one of those, I guess, few guys, you know, kind of stand out on the Panthers, sure, at least for me. Number 8, I'm going Leonard Williams from the Seattle Seahawks. 55 pressures, just overall reliable guy.
Yeah.
And then number 9, going DeForest Buckner from the Colts. Despite him getting double teamed a lot, I mean, he still racked up 7 sacks. You know, his PFF grade was 81.7, so still up there. And number 10, I'm going Jeff Simmons from the Tennessee Titans. Had to learn a little bit more about this guy, but, he's up there with his pass rush grade at 81. He is top 3 in interior stops.
Yeah.
45 pressures, so. And then I'll let you go to your 6 or 10, and then I do have a couple honorable mentions that
let's finish out the episode with our honorable mentions and getting into the nitty-gritty of how we kind of arrived to our conclusions. But 6 through 10 was tough, because there's a lot of guys that could sneak onto this list. There's a lot of guys that have a very legitimate case to be here. But I started off with Kobe Turner from the Rams. I know he might not be he's definitely not a household name. He's a bit like Zach Allen is, kind of under the radar, but tied for 1st in defensive stops, 4th in total pressures. He just doesn't grade super well by PFF standards, but at the same time, the production is there. You know, he has the volume, which is really impressive, because he's playing on a Rams defense that features some other really, really talented players. He's kind of that steadying veteran. I don't want to call him a veteran, because I think he's still relatively young in his career, but you know, compared to the other youngsters on that Rams defensive line that are super talented, he's a bit of a veteran. But Kobe Turner coming in at number 6, and then Jeff Simmons, however you want to call him, out of Tennessee. He's probably the most well-balanced player on this list. Like, I know Cam Hayward, I mentioned being in the tops in pressures and stops and being really, really good. But I think he's definitely a very good, well-balanced interior defensive lineman, as opposed to some of these other guys who might be more specialists. You know, Jalen Carter, excellent against the pass. You know, Dexter Lawrence, great against the run. Chris Jones, great against the pass. Jeffrey Simmons is pretty good against both, maybe not necessarily what you would call elite in either, but there's a lot of value in being really good against both. And then DeForest Buckner, like you were saying, Lacks a little bit of the volume stats that these other guys have, but like you said, he gets double teamed a lot. There's just not a whole lot of talent on that Colts defensive line other than him. But his impact is still felt just by his mere presence. And he's been consistent throughout his career too. He obviously came up through San Francisco, went to the Colts in that trade for the first round pick. And it's, you know, as much as they could have used that first round pick, DeForest Buckner has also been very productive for Indianapolis, and that only continued last year. Number nine, I got Leonard Williams. Fourth in total defense, PFF, kind of similar to Jeffrey Simmons, a very well-rounded interior defensive lineman for the Seahawks. He's just been great his whole career as well, whether it's the Jets, the Giants, or in Seattle. He's been very consistent. And then I have Quinnen Williams at number 10, still top 10 in pressures, but didn't grade out very well. Just kind of a down year, but the Jets defense was such a mess last year with the firing of Robert Saleh in the middle of the year. You know, he's their defensive coordinator too. So it's just kind of, tough to include him in much higher than being top 10, but or being 10th. But at the same time, like, you got to respect his talent. He is one of the most talented interior defensive linemen on this list for sure. So now we'll get to our honorable mentions. There's some really, really good names that just barely didn't crack this list. And I'll give mine first. Nnamdi Madubuike, out of Baltimore, top 10 in pressures and top 15 in stops. He really had a, I don't want to call it a breakout year because he's been pretty good for a few seasons now, but I think this past season, he really kind of announced his presence with authority. Shout out Bull Durham. That's a quote from that movie, but he was really good this past year. And I think he made a lot of people recognize, oh yeah, this guy is a big reason as to why the Ravens are so successful. And then Vita Vea, I mean, I wanted to include Vita Vea in this list. And you know, It was tough to leave him off this list because this is a Buck show, you know, and it would have been great to include him. But he definitely has a chance to sneak back on. But, you know, just couldn't find a spot for him. And then Lee McNeil out of Detroit, he graded really well, just not as much production. But I'm really excited to see what he can do when Aiden Hutchinson comes back, because it'll just ease the pressure off of McNeil and give him a little bit more time to, you know, get some one-on-one matchups. But Mr. Treek, how about you, man? Who are your honorable mentions that you have on this list?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go first off with just, you know, an OG vet, Calais Campbell, 38 years old. I mean, he is still.
He's still kicking.
So, you know, hey, look, I mean, you know, he's going to get older and all that. So I'm not going to, you know, be like, oh, man, you got to watch out for him again this season. You know, things might happen and all that. But I mean, I think he definitely deserves a respect. And I mean, he's still, I think, you know, he still has it in the tank, but
yeah, he's got some
juice. Next up, I actually want to give a shout out to Javon Hargrave from the Vikings. This is my, you know, if he stays healthy, you know, he can ball out.
Absolutely.
He had a torn tricep end of the season. Mm-hmm. Because of that, you know, his you know, overall grades were a little bit lower. But I mean, beforehand, you know, his past seasons, I mean, he's been up there in the ranks. I mean, he's been an absolute dog. So I expect him to rebound if he's, you know, if he stays healthy. And then, yeah, I want to give, yeah, I'll give a shout out to, you know, Aleem McNeil as well. I mean, you know, absolute dog, disrupts the game. You know, it's, I feel like, you know, I think he's also one of those guys that, you know, if he goes down, you know, the Lions could be in trouble. I mean, he's a vital. For sure. To the defense, and you know, especially working with, you know, Aiden Hutchinson as well. You know, hopefully he stays healthy. I know he had a torn ACL late in 2024, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah. But and then yeah, I'll probably say, you know, last but not least, yeah, I think we got to give a shout out to Vita Vea, of course. You know, just, oh my god, absolute just beast. He is like it's like a bowling ball, honestly, man.
Right.
He still has it. He still makes, you know, game-changing plays. And
oh yeah,
he's, I mean, just, I mean, hey, I'll tell you this. I mean, he's also one of those guys that, you know, you see, they put him at fullback sometimes.
That's
too.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. Just like the fridge. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If there were a list of nose tackles, I think Vita Vea would be near the top, but you know, this is interior defensive lineman in general, because, you know, we just want to incorporate everyone. And yeah, Vita Vea is very, very good. And it's tough to separate like the impact that he has from the fact that, you know, teams focus on him because he's a real central part of what the Bucs do on defense in terms of their defensive line. But I did want to ask you, Musa, because I'm sure our listeners are thinking, hey, you only mentioned Vita Vea. What the heck about these other Bucs? Like, the defensive line, you know, they've got some okay talent. Were there any guys that come to your mind that maybe could sneak onto this top 10 in a few years, or maybe not?
I got to say, I mean, yeah, most other than Vita Vea, I'd probably say I'm thinking Kalijah Kancey.
He's
young guy. You know, his pass rush win rate was ranked top five among rookies for his rookie year. So I mean, he's got that potential.
Yeah,
you know, injury absolutely. Limited. You know, he's had some injury limitations as well. But the fact that he's young, he shows sparks, and I feel like, you know, as long as he just stays healthy, improves his, you know, strength and run defense, I mean, he's going to be an absolute dog, especially with, you know, it's kind of like that Milton Williams, Jalen Carter relationship. You know, Vita Vea is going to be drawing those double teams, and, you know, expect him to, you know, kind of get after the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kancey's probably, like you said, Vea is obviously the first name that comes to your mind with an interior defensive lineman from the Bucs in this 3-4 defense. But Kalijah Kancey's got a real case if he can just, like you said, stay healthy. I think that's probably the biggest roadblock for him is just staying on the field. Kalijah Kancey has a real shot if he can put together a really nice 2025 campaign. But we'll see. He's got a lot of competition ahead of him. There are a lot of really, really good guys on this list. But if he has a really good season, regardless of whether he makes the top 10, that's going to make such a big difference for this Bucs defense. Because, you know, if they can hold down against the run, or if he can get after the passer, that'll ease the pressure on a lot of other players on this defense. But if you're looking for the Kalijah Kancey or Vita Vea of wardrobe upgrades, if you're looking to up your game just like Kalijah Kancey, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got a promo code for you, and Musab Tariq is rocking it.
You already know I'm always modeling.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
I don't get paid for this, listeners. I just do this because I love RBLR. You should know that.
That's right. Mr. Tariq is the number one RBLR fan. You got to head over there and check it out, because we've got everything covered in terms of Tampa Bay sports, because the Rays, they're playing right now. The Bucks are in the drolls of the offseason, but the Sun just won. The Rowdies just won their most recent match. There's a lot of really cool stuff going on in Tampa Bay sports. So why not celebrate by getting yourself some merch? That's Cannons. That's the promo code for you. Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in, get 10% off your entire order. All right. So Musa, before we log off or anything, I wanted to round out our episode a little bit by talking about how we got to these conclusions. Like, you know, what did you focus on? I know, for me at least, I know PFF grades were huge because PFF does a pretty good job. I hate to be PFF is not a sponsor. That's not what we're doing here, but they do a pretty good job of, you know, looking at what defensive linemen do and offensive linemen, taking just loads of game film, loads of clips, and having it inform their decisions. So I think they do a pretty decent job of evaluating this. They also accumulate a lot of pressures and a lot of other really cool stats that you can use to sort of evaluate this position. So that's sort of what I used mostly to inform these decisions. But it's also a little bit of vibes. You know, it's a little bit of, hey, trying to project a little bit, because, you know, Kobe Turner might be not currently a top 10 interior defensive lineman, but I do genuinely think he could be there by the end of the year. Same with Quinnen Williams. You know, like, production wise, Quinnen Williams is probably outside of the top 10, but his talent is definitely top five. Like, he could very easily be a top four defensive lineman. He could leapfrog Jalen Carter or Cam Hayward, because Cam Hayward's getting old. I tried to be a little bit project based and also still a little bit production based, because you still got to play. You know, if we're just going to do this purely on projections, then that's not really worth it. But how did you arrive to the conclusions when you were doing this list?
Yeah, for me, I got to say, I mean, I have to give, you know, credit to, yeah, you know, like PFF and, you know, just overall, I don't want to be, you know, like too much of a stat nerd, but right. it's more numbers than the vibes. But of course, you know, the vibes are still there for some of these guys. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what exactly they, you know, achieve when it, on the stat sheet. It's just that, you know, when you watch them, you're like, holy crap, this guy's an absolute animal. But yeah, you know, I was looking at things like, you know, pass rush production, run defense performance, or even just, for example, you know, their snap volume. And then thinking about things like, you know, availability, durability. That's why, you know, I had people like, for example, like Javon Hargrave, you know, someone who can just absolutely pop out again. But as of right now, kind of have him lower in the rankings due to injuries.
Absolutely.
Disruption rate and just how much of an absolute animal they are, how many times they're getting double teamed. Things like, you know, Yeah. So, and then, you know, I mean, you have to always give credit to those who've already achieved, you know, some accolades, you know, all pro recognition, those kind of things, or second team all pro. So, but I have to say, I got a question for you though, kind of going a little bit back to the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't know if we've really talked about, have we ever really discussed Desmond Watson? And Watson. You know, the only reason I asked that is that, come on, you know, he's kind of like the, you know, I feel like him and Shiloh Sanders are like the two, you know, kind of
The celebrity
agents that are, the UDFA celebrities. And, you know, since we're talking interior defensive linemen, I mean, obviously we haven't seen any, you know, NFL tape on him. He's a rookie, but I mean, you know, what do you think? Do you think he has any chance of making an impact, making a team?
Situationally, maybe. Like, I think he would be really, really interesting in some goal line packages, especially against the Eagles. You know, like you talk about, we were talking about Vita Vea earlier, because Vita Vea is the tush push stopper. You know, he's the guy that has been able to get in there and foil the Eagles' attempts to, you know, get those easy touchdowns. And I think him and Watson could do some really fun stuff in the goal line situation, because, you know, teams are just, you know, they are looking at what the Eagles are doing, and maybe they can't replicate it, but I'm sure that there's some teams out there that are going to be running the quarterback. They're going to be handing it off, you know, running in the red zone, especially in goal to go situations, is so huge. And Desmond Watson is a big dude. Like, he is going to take up some space. So I think that there's definitely a role for him on this team. It's just a matter of if the Bucs have a spot for that kind of player, because that's very specialized. You know, I don't know that he would be ready to play like even normal, just like regular situational football. I don't know that he's ready for that, other than maybe at a nose tackle position, but Vita Vea is obviously there. Greg Gaines is also backing up, and he's, you know, he's kind of got that position well entrenched. So maybe, I definitely think there's a world where he makes the team. But I don't know. I'm not going to bet on it. You know, I'm not counting on it.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. No. I feel the same way. Unfortunately, I mean,
I'm rooting for him though.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like, you know, there's levels to this, and I've seen things like this. You know, there's always some hype going on with certain players because of what they look like and all that.
Yeah.
So, because I remember, like, do you remember that Daniel Falele guy, offensive lineman? I'm forgetting what team he's on.
Oh, that name sounds familiar. You'll have to.
He's like 6 foot eight, and he was an absolute. Remember, like he went to IMG Academy. He's like an absolute yeti. You know, just massive, and obviously, you know, he gets all this hype and all that. But
Right,
good player. But I'm not going to be like, yeah, he's, oh my god, look at him. He's one of the greatest offensive linemen in the NFL now. So he's one of the biggest looking. I mean, 6'8" and massive. But at the end of the day, you know, there's. You got to do something with that weight when you're on the field, you know.
Oh, just for sure.
Look scary.
Right. Yeah. There's always like this, there's always this desire for, I think, outlier athletes in all sports, but especially in the NFL. So, like, Deuce Vaughn is a great example of a guy like super small, like super short, kind of like a fun little gadget player. But is he actually a productive NFL player? Maybe, maybe not. And then there's obviously, like we talked about, Desmond Watson sort of on that other end of the spectrum. Mekhi Becton also, although Mekhi Becton has carved out a very nice career as an interior offensive lineman. I think he's going to be very well set up to at least be a productive NFL player. I can't necessarily say the exact same thing about Deuce Vaughn or Desmond Watson, unfortunately. You know, they've got some stuff to prove. But it's also kind of funny for, like you mentioned, with the – you got to do something with that weight. It's kind of like with really fast guys like John Ross – Cyril Grayson, I think, was that, or that was the Bucks guy that was super fast. And I always heard, you know, you know, this isn't a track meet. You're not getting points for 40-yard dash times. Like, if the guy's really fast, like, oh, he'll run a really fast fly route so that he can drop the ball near the end zone. You know what I mean? Like, congratulations.
Same thing happens. I know with like DBs and bench.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy only got 7 reps at 225. Oh, he sucks. Like, well, but he's not going to be lifting a 225-pound ball on the field, man. He's just locking defenders down. That's it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So there's definitely a kind of an appetite for this kind of thing from fans. And I totally get it, because it's fun. You know, it's just it's just fun to focus on this kind of stuff because it's silly, like it's harmless, it's not really that big of a deal. So I'm rooting for Desmond Watson, man. It would be a cool, it'd be really cool to see a dude that big in a Bucks uniform. Like that's just kind of a fun, silly little thing.
And looking at the bigger picture, Carter, I mean, where would you rank the Buccaneers, you know, D line compared to the rest of the league? I'm thinking mid tier. I'm thinking somewhere. I'm thinking a fan would maybe say, you know, 12, 13.
I think 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Because definitely not
a little bit more. Yeah.
Definitely not awful. Definitely not significantly below average. Any defensive line with Vita Vea on it is automatically like going to be pretty good. But you know, the weakness of Kalijah Kancey and Elijah Roberts or Logan Hall. You know, you got to have three guys. And unfortunately, they're a little light on the other two guys next to Vita Vea. But I am really optimistic about Kancey's chances of elevating the Bucks rankings in this aspect of it. Off the cuff, definitely 15 to 20. But how about you? You said mid-tier. Do you think 15 to 20 sounds about right for you?
I would probably say yeah. I'll put him at 15. But, hey, fingers crossed. Look, we got David Walker and Elijah Roberts.
Exactly.
And I know they're not interior defensive linemen, but they're on the D-line. And they're also going to – I mean, honestly, I'm really hoping that that David Walker pick, you know, was it. I mean, he's an absolute dog.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he played for Central Arkansas.
That's
the only thing is, you know, this is where, you know, those guys who are getting paid to scout, watch all that tape. Hey, you know, were you right about this? We'll find out.
I mean, I am hopeful for David Walker hitting as an edge rusher. I think he could potentially, it's one of those perfect picks for the mid rounds, like round four, round five, because, you know, he's got a really pretty high ceiling. Like the range of outcomes is pretty high. But you know, there's also a very real world where he's overwhelmed by the competition level. You know, he's like you said, Central Arkansas, that's where Scottie Pippen went. And that's about it. Like, that's all you really know about that school.
I didn't even know that. Well,
but even that, it's like, you know, so it's one of those things. He could very easily be overwhelmed by the competition, but he could also be really, really outstanding. And that's the type of pick that's fine for the middle of the draft. But Elijah Roberts, like you said, drafted as an edge player, but I do think that the Bucks, because he's a bigger dude, like he's almost 300. So I do think that maybe the Bucks experiment him with a little bit on the interior as well as the edge, just see where he's going to fit, you know, see where his skills play up the best on the NFL level. Because he was great at SMU, like he was pretty darn good.
I think they put him in. Yeah, they put him on the outside and on the inside.
He's a versatile piece.
He was a versatile athlete. Oh yeah.
Absolutely. So that's a very valuable thing. There, you know, it's not a bad thing to be able to line up on multiple spots. Like that's going to be a really, really valuable thing, especially if he can be adequate at both. Because if you're adequate at both, then you're great. And if he's good at one or the other, then obviously you just line him up there and easy peasy, you know, no worries. But speaking of rookies, I know we've been talking about a few rookies. Were there any rookies that maybe gave you pause, maybe made you consider, oh, hey, maybe honorable mention or something? I know for me, Mason Graham was a guy that, I mean, you know, top five pick for the Browns. That's probably the first guy that's kind of where it started and ended. Like I was like, oh, maybe Mason Graham, but there's a lot of really good guys at this position. And I think, I mean, Walter Nolan and Kenneth Grant are pretty cool too, but I think Mason Graham has a real shot, especially lining up next to Myles Garrett. That's just such a he's very well set up to be a very productive player at the NFL level, because the Browns mess on offense, but they've got some interesting players on the defensive side of the ball. So were there any other guys that I didn't mention that maybe you thought about for as a rookie interior defensive lineman for this list?
I'll probably say maybe I'll go Derek Harmon. If not,
That's a good shout. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Derek Harmon. I remember, I think one of us had mentioned him as, one of our little draft talks. I mean, just, he was, you know, he's top five interior defensive line prospect.
Yeah.
He's quick, strong. I mean, at Oregon, I mean, he was dominating in the run and the pass game. So,
right.
Someone to watch, but no, dude, Mason Graham. The fact that, I mean, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, I mean, that's just a nasty duo. And I can't imagine, how much, Graham and Myles Garrett working together.
That's some scary stuff.
just sucks that they're on the Browns, but who knows, maybe they give the Browns a nice name. There's just a couple of teams that are just like, ugh, I forgot those exist and all that. And I know the Browns might get a little extra love now because of, you know, the Shedeur Sanders, but anyway, this is not a Browns podcast, so I'll stop.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Can't pay them too much lip service, even if it's about them being bad. But no, I feel you though. It's disappointing to see good talent go to teams where it feels like, you know, they might be productive, but how much of an impact is that actually going to have on the NFL? You know, like if Mason Graham has a great year and Myles Garrett has a great year too, like Browns will have a pretty good defense, but who cares? You know, they're playing in a really good division. But yeah, like you said, not a Browns podcast, so we'll we'll move on. But yeah, Derek Harmon, great shout. I loved Derek Harmon so much coming out of the draft. Probably one of the most physically gifted players in this past NFL draft class. Just huge, really quick. Like you said, one of the strongest players in the draft. So he was, yeah, he's definitely a good name to watch going into this next season. But we're nearing the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed us talking about the trench guys. I know they're not the most glamorous, but they can be the most impactful. So we really appreciate y'all for sticking around and tuning in. We'll be coming at you with more episodes coming out throughout the off season and into the preseason, into the regular season. It's still a little bit of a ways, but it's coming up. It'll be here sooner than we can think. So thank you to my co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, for making my job incredibly easy. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports if you're interested. But we'll see y'all next week. But as always, and until then, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.